Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. It seems we hear a lot these days about being authentic. And what that means is to express who we are uniquely, or as our unique individualization of the spirit. Now, what it doesn't mean is excusing our poor behavior or refusal to apologize in the guise of being authentic, which sometimes sounds like, well, I'm sorry if you can't handle that, but that's just who I am. That's not the kind of authenticity I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of authenticity that comes from the spirit within. And being this authentic can sometimes seem scary because it might mean that we have to go against societal norms or family expectations. It might bring up memories of when we tried to be authentic, but somehow we got hurt. We were bullied or ostracized or subject to hate speech. So it can be a little scary sometimes to be authentic. And in addition to that, we actually sometimes rob other people of their authenticity by not accepting them as they are, or not listening to them or going to them directly, and instead listening to the gossip about them. We also do this, robbing other people of their authenticity, when we give them unsolicited advice. I admit I have done this, and I have received it. I think we all do this, right? But how that robs people of their authenticity is we think they know better than they do about what the solution is for the problems in their life. One thing that can help us be authentic in the face of all this is boundaries. Because boundaries help us create those safe spaces in which to be authentic. And I am talking about boundaries, not walls. Walls are meant to be impenetrable. You cannot get in. Boundaries, they're more porous. And they take after the way of nature. I mean, cell membranes, our skin, even the Earth's atmosphere, they are porous. They let in what supports us and they keep out what is harmful. Now, sometimes we might need an actual wall, or at least an emotional wall or a relationship wall. For instance, some people are just so toxic that we just can't find a way to have a healthy relationship with them. So unfortunately, we might need to put them outside our life. And many times our egos and its zealous quest to protect us puts up walls when really a boundary would do quite nicely. You know, a wall says, do not enter. A boundary says, welcome, but please enter here. A wall says, I'm afraid, go away. A boundary says, I'm afraid, and this is what I need to feel safe. A wall says, this is really, really hard, I'm out of here. A boundary says, this is really hard, but I can stay if I get this. Nancy Levin defines a boundary as a limit that you set to define what you will or will not do, or what you will or will not accept or tolerate from others. Boundaries have elements of both protection and expression, helping us with what gets in, what stays out, and some things once let in might need to be shown the exit. Right? And boundaries help us protect ourselves in really healthy ways. They help us protect ourselves from undue outside influence. They help us with our self-care. What am I willing to spend my time and energy and resources on in a way that feeds me and doesn't diminish me? They help us protect ourselves so we can feel safe. And they protect what we hold sacred about ourselves and will not allow to be violated. Boundaries also create outlets for self-expression. I call this the holy no and the sacred yes. Sometimes we need to use the holy no. No, that isn't me. I am not going to do that. So we can make room for this sacred yes. Oh, yeah, this is me. This feels good. I can do this. And when we use our holy no and sacred yes, we need to remember what the author Paul Coelho says. When you say yes to others, make sure you're not saying no to yourself. This is another way we set boundaries with our yes and no. This yes is my yes, not somebody else's yes, what they think I should be doing or how I should be expressing myself. But before we can set these boundaries, we need to ask ourselves some questions like, what is important to me? What's important to me, about my friends, about my family, about my community, about my world? What are my values? What do I hold sacred and I will not be let that be violated? We need to ask ourselves these questions so we know where to set those boundaries. And once we've done that work, we need to communicate and enforce our boundaries. And much like last week, I mentioned that courage was an antidote to fear. Well, if we're going to communicate and enforce our boundaries, we need to have courage for that as well. But the more we do it, the better we get at it. And the more we have the courage to do it, the more we fill our lives and surround ourselves with people who really, truly care for us. Shannon L. Alder wrote, "Be honest with who you are, what you want, and how you want to be treated. Boundaries only scare off the people who were not meant to be in your life." One of our community members happened to share with me just a couple days ago how they did this. On their Facebook page, a friend made some comments that were kind of offensive and divisive. And so this person private messaged the friend and said, "Hey, just so you know, I don't really welcome that kind of stuff on my Facebook page." Well, the friend got angry. and unfriended the person. That person set boundaries, and the other person could handle it. So they showed themselves the exit. Probably no longer meant to be in that person's life, and that's okay. If we can do this, if we can figure out what boundaries we want to set and then actually communicate them and enforce them, we will build bridges from heart to heart. This is how we build bridges from our hearts to another person's heart. Now, if you've been around Science of Mind or Centers for Spiritual Living or any New Thought teaching for more than about 5 minutes, you've probably heard one of the principal things we teach, that we are each an individualization of the one spirit. And what that means is we are unique and individual, but we are not separated. We are connected in the one, which means we are of the one mind, the one body, the one spirit. So while we may have different boundaries, we are not separated from each other. Which, if you think about it, what that means is we don't really have to so much build the bridge by setting boundaries as much as our boundaries show us where the bridge is. The bridge is already there because we're part of that unified, that one thing. Sharing our boundaries is actually an act of love. When we share our boundaries, we are saying to other people, this is how you can love me. This is how you can respect me and honor me. This is the bridge to me, to get to know me. When we don't share our boundaries, it's as if we're saying, well, I guess I'll let you treat me however you like because I maybe don't have a lot of self-respect. And this actually serves no one. It just leads to resentment. Brené Brown said, compassionate people ask for what they need. They say no when they need to, and when they say yes, they mean it. They're compassionate because their boundaries keep them out of resentment. One big way setting boundaries does this, if we set boundaries and communicate those, we help other people not step on the landmines that we set, but they don't know where they're at. That's one big way we can keep from being resentful. It's also an act of love to respect other people's boundaries. After all, they have had the courage to say to us, this is how you can respect me, this is how you can love me, and it is an act of love to do just that. It's saying, I see you, I hear you, I respect you enough to meet you on this bridge. My God meeting your God in the one God. The movie Billy Elliot, and there's some folks here who maybe are not old enough to remember the movie because it came out in 2000. But it's a great movie. It takes place actually in 1984 in a small town in England, a coal mining town. The miners have been on strike for a long time. There's a lot of financial stress in a lot of the households. Billy is 11 years old. His mother has recently died, and he's just not connecting with his father. They're constantly butting heads. And you kind of sense that Billy feels like he's on his own. Well, despite the financial stress in the family, Dad does give Billy money each week to take a boxing lesson with the other young boys down at the community gym. And one day, Billy notices at the end of the boxing lesson that on the other side of the gym is a group of girls and girls only dancing. They're in a dance lesson. He likes that idea a whole lot better than boxing. So before long, he's using the money Dad gives him for boxing lessons to go to dancing lessons. Dad finds out about this, and he is furious, and he confronts Billy about it. He tells Billy, dancing is not for boys. In this town, boys box, girls dance. And Billy's like, no, Dad, dancing is very natural, even for boys. And then he goes a little further and he says, what are you saying, Dad? Now you know from the context of the movie that that question to his father, Billy is saying, dancing is not just for what they call puffs. It's a very derogatory word for gay boys. Well, Dad's not having any of it. He's like, not only are you not having dance lessons, but no more money for boxing lessons. Well, by this time, Billy's dance instructor has noticed that he has an extraordinary natural ability for dance. So she continues to teach him on the sly. And she even goes so far as to get him an audition with the Royal Ballet Academy and helps him prepare a dance for the audition. Due to a family emergency, Billy misses the audition. But he doesn't stop dancing. One day he's in that community gym with a friend of his, and he's showing him some dance moves, and he starts dancing, and without Billy noticing, his dad walks in. And in the middle of his dancing around, he ends up in front of his father, and he looks him in the eye. And you just for a split second, you see some fear, but then he takes off, and he dances his heart out. And he very deliberately finishes the dance right in front of his father. I mean, he's like this close, and he looks him in the eye. And without saying a single word, Billy is setting boundaries with his father. He is saying, you can take away my dance lessons. You can think that I am something I am not, but you will not stop me from dancing, Dad. Billy is saying no to his father and saying yes to himself. But something happened in that gym. Dad got to see what a natural talent his son is. So he did an extraordinary thing. He crosses the picket line to go back to work. Now, this is a huge no-no in this town. In fact, his older son, who is also a minor, says, Dad, what do you think you're doing? You cannot cross the picket line. And Dad says, it's for Billy. He could be a genius. I had to give him a chance. And not only that, but all the minors come together and raise enough money so that Billy could take a trip to London for an audition for the Royal Academy Ballet. And of course he gets in. He gets accepted because what would be the point of the movie? But, right? So you know he's going to get in. But the movie ends years later. Billy is the lead male dancer in Swan Lake. And his brother and his father make the trip to London. They find their seats. And Dad says to an usher, tell Billy Elliot his family is here. Young Billy had the courage to set some boundaries with his father. He had the courage to say, "Dad, if you want to love me, you have to accept me as I am, and this is how you can love me." And his dad met him on that bridge. And they had a wonderful relationship after that. Billy's unique expression was allowed to come out. And his dad was able to have this beautiful relationship with his young son. Boundaries build bridges. So I encourage each of us this week to just spend a few moments thinking about, where in my life are my boundaries working for me? Where do I maybe need to set some boundaries and communicate them and enforce them? And let's not forget, let's also think about, where have I maybe not done such a great job of respecting other people's boundaries? Let's build some bridges, because Lord knows we could use more bridges from heart to heart in this world. Let's pray. I invite our practitioners and ministers to stand and to hold this prayer in their hearts and in their consciousness. Sometimes, as in this moment, when I let myself remember that there's only one thing going on in the universe, feels a little overwhelming in a really good way. To remember that it is immense. It is infinite. It never stops loving. It never stops creating. And sometimes I imagine that all of creation is God's dance. Just for the pure joy of it, and no other reason. As if it delights in feeling its own warmth and light and love and wisdom and peace. And how good it is to know that we are each part and particle of it. Which means that its dance is our dance. That we get to dance. We get to experience the joy. And we get to do it with other hearts, with other people. We get to say, "Meet me on this bridge, and let's love each other here, now, because the world needs it, and I need it, and you need it, and we need it." So that is my prayer. And I let it rest gently in the loving arms, in the immense, warm, loving arms that receives it and says, "Why, yes, of course, my child. I built that bridge for you, and for you, and for you. And so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.